This is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. I'm Jack Rodolico, live in Concord. Tonight, our show is a balm for these uncertain times. We're talking about gardening. What are you planting right now, and how does it help you escape? Are you turning to your garden to avoid the grocery store? Maybe seeds and shoots give you a little bit of hope right now. Or maybe you don't have a green thumb. Maybe you're intimidated by caring for plants. You should call into the show too, because we'll have an expert on hand to give you advice about easy and inexpensive ways to get started, even if you don't have a backyard. Call us to talk, 603-513-7700. One more time, the number is 603-513-7700. Give us a call to talk about your garden, what your plans are for it, 513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Before we go to callers, let's recap what we know right now about coronavirus in New Hampshire. We actually just received the state health department's daily count of coronavirus cases, and the numbers today are eye-popping. 99 new confirmed cases of COVID-19 reported, and 6 confirmed additional deaths. That is the highest single daily jump in both cases and in deaths so far in New Hampshire. A superior court today dismissed a lawsuit brought by Democratic lawmakers against New Hampshire's Republican governor. The Democrats contested Governor Sununu's authority to spend federal COVID-19 relief funds without input from the legislature. The judge ruled that stopping or delaying that relief from moving forward was against the public interest. And the head of a trade association representing the state's hospitality sector says New Hampshire's tourism industry has been decimated by the coronavirus and the economic impact of social distancing. Mike Summer told a bipartisan panel of lawmakers the state might need to inject hundreds of millions of dollars just to keep businesses propped up. Our website, nhpr.org, has the details on these stories and more. While you're there, you can sign up for our daily coronavirus newsletter to get the news sent to your inbox each day. So back to our show topic for tonight, gardening your way through a pandemic. I gotta be honest, I am married to a gardener. I am the son of a gardener. And for some reason, I have never felt like gardening is for me, which I know is ridiculous because I love being outside, I love nature, but still, there's something about gardening that feels like a club with its own private language that I don't speak. But this spring, it is different. I think I am one of many of us who want to be outside, want to feel productive. I really want to hear from you. Tell me, why do you garden? Is it an escape? Are you avoiding the grocery store right now, or are you trying to? Or are you like me and trying to figure out where to even get started? If you have questions or if you have gardening tips, call now. New Hampshire Calling is live, and our phone number is 603-513-7700. Again, the number to call is 603-513-7700. You can also email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. Joining me by phone, and will be joining us for the ride here, I've got Dave Anderson on the phone. Dave, how are you? Welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
I'm doing great, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So I want people to know who you are. You are the Director of Education for the Society for the Protection of New Hampshire Forests. You are also co-host of Something Wild from NHPR, our podcast and weekly radio spot. Where you teach us all kinds of wonderful things in a very fun way. And you are a major gardener, like serious gardener. And I want to start here, okay? Did you, Dave, ever have a time when you felt the way I do now, like you just didn't know what you were doing when it comes to gardening?
I feel the way you feel now every year when I look at the garden and wonder, you know, can we pull this off? Are we doing too much? We reinvent ourselves every spring in the soil and water and sun and seeds. And so I feel like the intimidation factor is way overblown.
You think so?
Yeah, people should try it. try anything. Don't be intimidated, no matter what your space or what your situation is. We can all grow some things. For me, it's about the food. It's about hope for the future. I mean, if you're not hopeful, yeah, gardening may not be for you, but it's a great way to foster some exercise, mental wellness, and that connection to living things like we do with our pets. We're our plants. We can sing to our plants, talk to our plants. We connect with the soil and the water and the sun and the seeds, and it's just a great thing to try.
Yeah. We're talking with Dave Anderson about gardening, planting gardens in this moment of a pandemic. What's it doing for you? Do you want to get started and you aren't sure how to do it? Or have you been doing this for a long time and you're trying to do a little bit more maybe because of the pandemic? Maybe you're thinking about growing your own vegetables or growing more of your own vegetables because the grocery store, let's be honest, is a little bit intimidating right now. It's a place public health advisors are telling us to spend as little time as possible. Give us a call to talk about gardening, 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. And Dave, you know, if I go to your house, I imagine I see these like large, impressive gardens. But are you changing your approach because of the pandemic, like in terms of the food you're growing or the amount of time you're spending out there right now?
Well, we started seedlings, and that's kind of the preseason. The preseason arrives really with the first seed catalogs in February and March, and we've started some seedlings. We prefer to direct sow most things because it's a very short season in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You know, 75, 95 days, you know, for most crops. I think you would be disappointed if you came here and expected to see like the salad dressing commercial for Hidden Valley Ranch with everything really tidy.
I think I maybe overblew it a little.
But we're not really changing it up. I think, you know, the idea of food is always appealing.
Mm-hmm.
It's an education, and it certainly is a lot of exercise. And I think almost every year we overreach in May because we have that enthusiasm for planting. And we can keep up with it in June and early July, but when you get down to hand weeding in the hot sun and you're dealing with watering and some of the challenges of insect pests and things, I sometimes wonder, wow, maybe I'd really rather go paddling today or go to the beach or something like that. It was interesting because there was kind of a run on seeds in some hardware stores. People told me that seeds were getting hard to buy. That was my first indication that more and more people are thinking about gardening. And if there's a number of silver linings from the whole COVID-19 pandemic, it's people's habits are changing now in a way that they can keep afterwards. And I would like to think that some people start gardening now and it becomes a lifelong thing to be more self-sufficient and provide for some of their food.
I think you're right that there was a run on seeds and that people want to garden because they are on the phone right now. So let's go. Let's take some calls. All right, Dave. We're going to go first to Ruth in Wilton. Ruth, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Thank you. We spoke on Monday, and you told me you were having a gardening show, and I said I'd be back.
You're the first one. I saw the words Ruth and Wilton, and I was like, I'm pretty sure we've spoken with her before. I'm so glad you called back.
Well, thanks. I am a longtime gardener, and when I inherited my house, there was virtually no landscaping, so I spent the last almost 20 years building gardens and putting in shrubs and all that. And I'd just like to pass along a couple of tips.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and first an observation. Gardening is my savior. I spend a lot of time by myself and getting out in the gardens, and as you say, connecting with nature is just the most wonderful thing. It's also a great form of exercise. Again, you mentioned that. But I have a couple of suggestions about how to buy low-cost plants of good quality without going to a mass merchandiser like, you know, Walmart or Target or wherever.
Yeah. Go ahead, Ruth. Give us your bullet list there on how to do it.
Okay. It's online. There are a couple of providers. Can I name names?
Sure.
Okay. Faribault Gardens, that's in Minnesota, provides wonderful chrysanthemums, and they ship them to you in the spring, so they have all summer to get started. They cost about $2.25 each, as opposed to, I don't know, $18 or $25 when you buy them in the fall. And when you buy them in the fall, they don't have time to get established so that they don't winter over. Another source is Adelman's Peony Gardens, and at nurseries you see, I don't know, about four colors. They're all pink and white. Adelman's has hundreds of peonies in colors like peach and yellow and just an astounding assortment. And the eyes are, I don't know, maybe $15 a piece. They can go up to $185, but, you know, there are reasonably priced ones. And the third one is to go online and just look for hybrid lilies. There are a zillion places that will send you beautiful hybrid lilies, and again, things that you can't find in most nurseries.
That's great, Ruth.
And prices are really reasonable.
That's fantastic.
Now.
Yeah, no, perfect. A lot of good flower tips there from Ruth in Wilton. We appreciate you listening and calling us twice in a week. We appreciate hearing from you. We're going to go next to Diana in Portsmouth. Diana, I think you're on the other end of a spectrum in terms of gardeners. Is that?
I'm just a newbie. I'd love for Ruth's expertise to seep quickly into my veins, but I don't have that. In fact, when I've tried gardening before, I've been called a weed gardener. So I'm at a place where we don't have an established garden plot, and I'm thinking more rather than flowers, more of the stuff that you can eat or put on the table to make it worth the effort. Of course, not saying that flowers aren't worth the effort; they certainly are. But I'm just looking at for basics. You know, like what kind of beans would really thrive with someone that does not have the green thumb, or other things, or maybe something interesting like ginger. Does that actually grow here? Or what about mushrooms? What can we put by that, you know, in the old New England hardy soul to, you know, get through in case of supply chains and COVID-19 breakdown?
Right. Diana, so I'm going to let Dave answer that question for a moment, but also let you know that in just a little bit, we're going to have someone on to talk about Victory Gardens, which is the concept of planning your food during a moment of a crisis like this, and even when you don't have a lot of space. But Dave, you know, answer Diana's question. Like, what are the sort of handful of vegetables that are, I don't want to say foolproof, but easy to get started with and hearty?
Lettuce, beets, radishes, carrots, foolproof, from seed, in containers even, or even in a window box. Think about things like, for the table, tomato and basil, you can make a wonderful summer salad. Both of those grow well in containers in full sun and can be done in a small space. And by August, you're making wonderful antipasto with your own tomatoes and basil. They work well in small spaces, and they're pretty. Tomatoes can be fussy, but certainly lettuce, beets, carrots, radishes, easy to grow.
Diana, how does
what
that
kind
sound?
Of lettuce? Yeah,
no,
what
good,
kind of lettuce?
Because
I actually have not had success with basil. So you make it sound simple, but what kind?
I do both leaf lettuce, like a romaine, and then also we do some iceberg. But you know, it's hit or miss. It gets too hot too soon, the lettuce won't do it. It'll bolt. So we use different kinds of lettuce, but herbs are very easy too. So
perfect. Yeah.
Catnip.
That's a good start, Diana. I'm
all
glad
right,
you called
you.
In. Keep listening. We're going to have more advice as the show goes on. Dave Anderson, stick with us. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about gardening your way through a pandemic. Is it new for you? Are you trying to find your way around the garden? Or are you an old hat and you've got some tips for people who want to get started to start growing their own food or just to keep themselves outdoors during this crazy moment when so many of us are at home so much? Call us to talk about gardening, 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I believe that every heart is kind. I just want to love you while I can. All these other thoughts have me confused. I don't want to try to understand. Maybe I'll turn off the f***ing news. Turn off the news and build a garden. Just my neighborhood and me. We might feel a bit less hardened. We might feel a bit more free. Turn off the news and raise the kids. Give them something to believe. Teach them how to be good people.
Get the latest information about the coronavirus pandemic in New Hampshire, plus other important headlines from NHPR's newsroom when you subscribe to our Coronavirus Daily Digest e-newsletter. Sign up today at nhpr.org.
Hi, NHPR. This is Bree. I'm calling from Putney, Vermont. It's hard. The social isolation is not easy. So we're up in the woods, but I just wanted to share some things that we're doing. We got a garden plot in the town of Putney, and I'm so excited to start planting and showing my son how to plant some lettuce, tomatoes, green beans, stuff like that, some radishes. Anyway, hope everyone's hanging in there, and I do believe it's going to come to an end once we flatten the curve and life can get back to somewhat normal. All right. Have a good night. Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in this time of a pandemic. We are talking about gardening with the New Hampshire Forest Society's Dave Anderson. He's also a co-host of NHPR's Something Wild podcast, which I'll just say, if you are looking for some extra help with remote learning and your kids, you should definitely check out Something Wild. They'll be learning a lot about nature this spring. Dave, we're going to bring in some more callers. People have questions. Shall we just go to a call? What do you say?
Yeah, but I've got one word for the lettuce question.
Oh, yeah.
Kale.
Oh, yeah.
I know it's a joke, but listen, kale is foolproof.
Really? You think foolproof?
Yes. Kale.
Okay. I guess that makes sense. I mean, it is a tough, as vegetables go, it is just physically tough. I guess it's built into its DNA to just grow easily and
yeah,
stick where it is.
Go ahead. Go for some calls.
Cool. You're right. Let's do some calls. Stephanie's calling from Loudoun. Hey, Stephanie. Welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Good to be on, Jack. Hi, Dave.
All right.
Good to have you. Go right ahead.
So I have had an extreme decrease in my work hours due to the COVID recently.
Yeah.
I've used the opportunity to focus my energy and time into starting a farm.
Really?
And I registered an LLC last week. I've been organic gardening for about 15 years, and I realized the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything about gardening. but I like to think of myself as an ecological steward, and while the farm is focused on organic herbs and flowers, I do have some veggies going. My radishes, lettuce, kale have all popped up in the last week or so. I also wanted to suggest dill as a great beginner's plant to grow. Dill, calendula, borage, they all are plants that attract pollinators, and they'll self-seed. So you can't get any easier than that. They'll come up when they're ready in the spring.
And Stephanie, let me ask you, you're doing this as a business venture because your hours have been cut?
Yeah, it's a passion of mine, and a lot of my money that I've spent has gone into my gardening hobby, and I've been learning about building soil and growing plants for years, and a lot of my friends have been calling my phone. It's been ringing off the hook with questions. A lot of folks bought all the seeds they could in the last month or so, and they're frantically trying to figure out, what next. So I've been sharing my knowledge. I've been trying my hand at YouTube videos. I'm not celebrity status yet, but I'm getting there.
Stephanie, I wish you so much luck in your venture.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck to you. We're talking about gardening during a pandemic. What is getting you through? Are you trying things for the first time? Are you doing your best despite your experience? Give us a call to talk. Give us some tips or ask some questions. We've got answers. 603-513-7700, 603-513-7700, or email us at nhcalling@nhpr.org. We're going to go now to Wren in Concord. Hey, Wren, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm good. You have a question?
I do. So we've started this year doing the square foot gardening. I've got a little aggressive building 5 4x4 above ground planters. My question is, I started some seedlings inside. What temperature is fairly safe to put them out? I see next week it's going to be in the 40s at night. Is there a baseline temperature I need to look, because the seedlings are starting to grow?
Yeah, don't jump too soon on that. We've made that mistake. I think the best things I've learned have been through doing things wrong and making mistakes. Wind, put a fan on them so they get tough, because they'll get really leggy as it warms up indoors. And if you can run a fan on them, it toughens up their stems. And I usually wait until, middle of May, and, the temperatures are overnight, in the 50s, as opposed to shocking them, because it's a big shock for them to go from living indoors to living on your porch, even if you're putting them out for a few hours. And you sort of begin to introduce those to the wind and sunshine outside gradually. The soil temperature is really critical for when you transplant them into the actual garden beds. And so everything's sort of warming up, and, they're safe inside right now, and you can control the wind and the water. Once you get outside, then they're in the big world. So
what soil temperature do you look at? Above 50?
Yeah, I really, I'm not sure on that. I got to say,
But it sounds like you're going with, if you're not measuring the temperature of your soil, you're basically just saying there's no big rush, because we could always get a late frost. I woke up this morning and there was actually a little snow on the ground outside of my house in Concord.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. That helpful,
yep.
Ren?
Okay. Yeah, great. Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks very much. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about gardening, and I want to bring somebody else into the conversation now. John Forte is on the line. John, welcome to New Hampshire Calling. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Thanks
Good.
For having me on.
Absolutely, absolutely. You heard we were doing a show about gardening, and you reached out, and we realized that you would be a great person. You are executive director of Bedrock Gardens in Lee, and previously you were the curator of historic landscapes at Strawberry Bank Museum, and you are going to tell us just a little bit about Victory Gardens. I want to tell you, there was a story in the New York Times today about Victory Gardens during World War II, and this is the idea that, in a moment of uncertainty, you can provide yourself with a little more stability by growing some of your own food. And according to the New York Times, I found this stunning. In the year 1943, during World War II, here's the quote: "It's estimated that 20 million Victory Gardens flourished in the United States that year, and New York City alone produced 200 million pounds of tomatoes, beans, beets, carrots, and lettuce." Veggies we've already been talking about. That is stunning to me. And, we are not New York City, John, but I'm thinking of listeners in Salem or Nashua or Manchester who don't have a lot of space. Give them some advice on how do you get started on a Victory Garden, and why would they want to do it?
Sure. For them and all of us that actually have soil and yards as well in New Hampshire, there's a great benefit in times like this at reconnecting with the soil. I love that you played that song from Willie Nelson and his family,
right?
"Turn off the news and build a garden," because there's a part of living in times of adversity, like they did during World War II, that is about connecting with the soil and building home front morale. But at the height of their success during World War II, almost half of the nation's produce was grown in people's backyards.
That's incredible.
That's an amazing thing to me. But it was also about getting families and kids outside. And I think many of our families right now need to reconnect science and math and social studies in the outdoors with their kids, because we're all getting sick of the indoors.
And so, John, I can't agree with you more. And for those folks who, have got a windowsill, and not a lot of space, but maybe some sunlight, what's the way to get started on their own Victory Garden and maybe start building that confidence that they can start growing some of their own food?
Sure. I'd say the most important thing is try growing the things you love the most, because you'll give them more attention. If you start with a window box or pots on a door stoop, that's fine. If you can build a small raised bed outside or use some big buckets and just plant into buckets, you could take the potatoes that are sprouting under your kitchen sink and plant those eyes and be pulling potatoes this summer like you're finding loaves of bread underground. There's a great reward in just working with what you have, whether you're in an urban area or not.
I love that advice. Start with the food that you like to eat. It doesn't get more practical than that. John Forte, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us on New Hampshire Calling. Sure. Take care.
And I hope you'll come visit us at Bedrock Gardens once the pandemic lifts.
I'd love to. I hope we all can. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about gardening. We're taking your questions and your tips about how to garden your way through the pandemic. Call us at 603-513-7700. That's 513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We've got Patricia on the line from Grantham. Hey, Patricia, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hello, thank you so much.
Absolutely. What's your story?
Well, I'm a department supervisor at the Claremont Home Depot, and I am seeing such an uptick in people interested in gardening and supplies and that sort of thing coming in, many of them who haven't ever gardened before, so very much interested in it. And I'm so pleased, despite the circumstances, that this is a way that people are turning, because certainly growing your own food is a very positive thing, but getting outside and being connected to just being outside and growing things is very important to me personally. And being able to teach people, I always say to people, you're a couple of YouTube videos away from becoming an expert. Hmm. And, I've been able to learn a lot through the training programs that we have through the corporation, but also I really want to turn people on to one of the greatest resources we have in the state for this sort of thing, and that is UNH Extension Service. Mm. They have a great Master's Gardener program, but they also have helplines
They've got resources online as well.
Oh, it's just wonderful. And I really would encourage people to take advantage of those resources that they can do right on the web from home, because there's just so much once you get started.
And Patricia, at the Home Depot where you're working, you said, was it in Claremont?
Yes, sir.
It is. What are people buying? Is it a little bit of everything, or is there something in particular that a lot of people, do you notice any trends?
We sell a wide range of things for gardens, and I just noticed that quite early people were coming in to get soils and seeds and peat pots and that sort of a thing. The other thing is people are looking forward to trying to build their own raised garden beds, and we have materials that are pretty easy to put together, not necessarily kits, but block and lumber. And we'll cut the lumber. We'll show you how to do things. Mm-hmm. We'll even calculate how much soil you need. And so it's not only things that we're selling, but the things that we can share with you on how to get started.
That's great.
Many people saying, oh, I've never done this before. And just to turn to somebody and say, don't be scared. Give it a try, because it's such a good thing.
Great. Wonderful. That's what we're all about tonight. Thanks so much for calling in, Patricia, and giving everybody a vote of confidence.
Oh, thank you. Take care and stay healthy.
You too. Let's go now to Daniil in Concord. Did I say your name right?
It's Gamil. That's me. It's actually Warner.
It's Gamil, and I didn't even get your town right. Let's try again.
No, tell me who you are. New Hampshire.
Tell me your name and tell me where you're calling from.
My name is Gamil Azmi, and I'm from Warner, New Hampshire.
Great, great. And what's your gardening? Where are you on the gardening spectrum?
Well, we have a company called Aquaculture for Life, and it's been around for about 27 years.
Mm-hmm.
But with this situation now, we've been having a system which we put together a few years back when the drought in Texas, and it's really worked fantastic. So for family of four or five, you can use actually, it's basically cheap because nobody wants to spend lots of money, and it's fast. Maybe 10 or 12 buckets, 2.5 to 5 gallon buckets, which can be used, or you can buy them. Don't buy them new, too expensive.
So you're saying you have like an aquaculture kit ready to go?
No. This is just. I have nothing to do with that yet. This is just a system for everybody to use instead of having a raised garden and all that stuff. This is just get you a bucket, say 10 of them, about 1.5 inches from the bottom, drill a hole in the side, put about 1.5 inches of rock possibility in the bottom, put some soil.
Okay.
And then all you have to do, for those who have no green thumb, just get, overgrown potatoes, chop it up, maybe 10 or 15, put them right there in layers, put some more soil on the top and leave it alone, and get your seeds and package, and put the whole package in, of course, not the beans, but say tomatoes or whatever, and then choose four or five strong ones, pull the rest of them, and so on and so on. So you only have about maybe 4 or 5 inches total of dirt in the bucket.
Gotcha. Gamil, I think you're painting a picture, which I appreciate, and I want to bring in Dave Anderson. Dave, have you ever heard of this kind of strategy?
Layering, yeah, and also Gamil's point about using buckets. You can, if you don't have fancy window boxes or containers, you can just get some drywall buckets or Home Depot paint buckets, wash them out, and grow vegetables on your patios in 5-gallon buckets.
And just describe the layering. This is a way to have just less soil in a smaller space. I think I'm not totally understanding the image of it.
Were you suggesting potatoes?
Me?
No, Gamil.
Gamil, yeah, I heard something about potatoes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think what he's saying is you're layering them in there on top of each other and then thinning them as they pop up. And so you're basically growing vertically like a skyscraper garden as opposed So instead of horizontal gardening, you're vertical gardening in a bucket, maximizing the space and the soil.
Got it. Perfect. That makes sense. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about gardening and finding your way through this pandemic by getting your fingers dirty. We're taking your questions, and we are also appreciative of your tips of how to get started. Call us at 603-513-7700. 513-7700 or email nhcalling@nhpr.org. We've got Joe on the line from Jackson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Jack. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I've started some seedlings here, and I'm getting that they were talking about it earlier, the leg problem where they're shooting up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious, you know, at what point do you say, I got to start again? I mean, if you see that starting, are you not doing so well? You got to start again, or are they savable?
Put a fan on them and toughen them up. Expose them. I mean, the more they're exposed to wind, they're going to add more fiber to their stems. You know, and if they're getting leggy and they're starting to flop over, don't start again. See if you can, you know, prop them up or tie them up with a string and expose them to some wind and toughen them up. They do that when they're just growing in a sunny window and you're growing them indoors. We have a fan, right. An oscillating fan that's on it. And you can turn them towards the sun so that you're rotating them. So they're growing in one direction, and then you turn them 180, and then they're growing in the other direction. And don't start over again. You've got the plants going.
And Dave, they'll really start growing more fiber in those thin little leggy stems because of a fan.
Yeah. They need that wind. They need that stimulation, and that toughens them up. I mean, we try to minimize the amount of seedlings that we're doing. We're doing tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, basil. We try to direct so many things because we used to start all kinds of things inside, and then if the soil temperature wasn't right or it was a week of rain after we transplanted them, they just get shocked. And so we've invested 2 months from April and May, put them out on the 1st of June, and then something goes wrong. If we wait a little longer for the soil to warm up, we've had better results, especially with squashes, cucumbers, corn, beans, just by direct sowing right from the seed into the ground.
Awesome. The more practical tips for me, the better, because I've got some leggy seedlings in my kitchen right now, and I'm just going through my mind of where the fans are in storage, and I'm going to dig one out tomorrow. This is New Hampshire Calling. We're talking about gardening. We're going to go to a quick break, but we want to hear from you next. Email us, nhcalling@nhpr.org, or give us a call at 603-513-7700. Stick with us.
Plainfield. Wouldn't this be a wonderful time to start a butterfly and bee attracting garden? Even little kids could certainly plant flowers specific to collecting bees and collecting butterflies. Wait until the cold weather is gone, but try that. Have fun.
Welcome back. I'm Jack Rodolico, and this is New Hampshire Calling, a pop-up show from NHPR that's all about how we can help each other navigate daily life in a time of coronavirus. We're talking about gardening tonight, but I just want to let you know what we are cooking up for tomorrow night's show. Thursday, as always, is our music show, and this time around, we are focusing exclusively on soul music. I am so excited. I am honestly so excited about the show. I can't even talk. We've been taking your requests all week. We're building a set list that is guaranteed to help you escape the pandemic. That's tomorrow night on New Hampshire Calling, all soul music, right here from 7 to 8. And as always, we will take your music requests of any genre at any time. Anytime you want to give them to us, just leave us a voicemail at 603-513-7700 or email your song request to nhcalling@nhpr.org. Now back to the garden bed. I've got Dave Anderson on the line from NHPR Something Wild podcast and from the New Hampshire Forest Society. Dave, we got people on the phones. Shall we go? Shall we do it? Okay, good. Just as a reminder, if you want to get your question in, call us 603-513-7700. 513-7700. We've got Michelle in Keene. Hey, Michelle, how are you and how are things in Keene?
I am well, and it is chilly in Keene today.
It's chilly everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, I would like to encourage, I'm an old hat. I'm a landscape architect, and I would like to encourage the beginner gardeners. This does not have to be complicated. If you have a fence with soil, fence over soil in an area that gets 5 to 8 hours of sunshine, you can plant sugar snap peas right now. They will grow up. They're very foolproof. They will have blooms for the pollinators. They will have blooms for the children. They will have peas. This, and you can follow them up with red runner beans, and a little bit after that, baby cucumbers and baby pumpkins. So these are four very straightforward direct sown seeds that really only need a fence, soil, and sunshine, obviously, and water. There are obviously many complicated ways to garden, but it doesn't have to be complicated. And if people are interested, I have YouTube videos with a little program called Easy Peasy. So if they look up Easy Peasy on YouTube, it's literally, I've been making these little videos with kids in the neighborhood and their parents, so that folks can, step one, soak the seeds overnight. Step two, look for the right place. Step three, get it ready. Step four, put the seeds in the ground. Step five right now is the 5 W's. Watch, wait, water, read, and wonder what they're going to do. So if they look up Easy Peasy online, they could find some very straightforward, fun little videos, and they're just direct sow seeds for vegetables that grow up and are fun for kids.
I love it, Michelle. Thanks so much for calling and for those tips, and we'll check it out, Easy Peasy on YouTube. We're going to go now to Lola in Hooksett. Hey, Lola, welcome to the show. Are you there, Lola?
Happy Earth Day. I'm on my way home to Rochester.
Happy Earth Day to you, too.
Thank you. So I have two questions. First one's got two parts. What don't you put together to grow together? What doesn't go?
Okay.
And what works well together? The fruits and vegetables, can you make something like that?
Okay, perfect. I'm gonna kick it over to Dave to answer that. Dave, okay. Did you hear that question?
Yeah, I did, and I know that there's some issues of compatibility and pest control and things. One thing that's important is to rotate plants around too from year to year, because we've had problems with cucumber bugs and tomato hornworms, and we've had squash bugs. And so if you continue to plant the same things in the same spots, you're really building up a pest base there, and if you rotate your crops around in the garden, you can avoid that. And so another thing that is a great pest control is things like tansy keep ants away. Things like marigolds keep a whole host of pests out of your vegetable gardens. And so we used to pop marigolds in at the end of the beds as kind of a permaculture solution to not using any kind of insecticidal. And when we do have bugs, like when we get an infestation of the little cucumber bugs or squash bugs, we just take a little dish soap and put it in a water sprayer, and we go out and we spray a little soap on the plants, and it washes away, and it's an organic solution without using chemicals.
Really, just dish soap in a spray bottle?
Yeah, because it actually helps suffocate the actual insect from the outside, and so not putting, you're basically deterring the insects using an organic method.
Awesome. I want to read a couple quick emails, and then we'll go to another caller. Anne from Durham writes, I've enjoyed herb gardening. Unfortunately, I have developed arthritis and find it painful to bend, kneel, or crouch. It was suggested to me to try gardening in a raised pot or barrel. That's what I hope to try this year. Good luck, Anne. I hope that works. Mark from Canaan says, for those in the northern part of the state, be aware of the early June full moon for transplanting fragile plants. Peppers, tomatoes, basil, eggplant, squashes, cucumber, and melons. Full moons often have cold, clear nights. Cover those transplants as necessary in cold areas. Watch the weather reports, triple exclamation point. I mean, Dave, that's another thing. Is it dramatically different advice that we might be giving for someone in the northern part of the state or the southern tier of the state?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, you can get an extra 2 to 3 weeks frost-free in southern New Hampshire, maybe even longer depending on the year. And knowing when to plant, he mentioned the moon cycle, but just really watching that weather report and understanding that, you know, that things are going to shock when you put them out. And, you know, basically, we used to say you were safe sometime after Mother's Day. This year that falls on the 10th, I think, and that's kind of early. Mm-hmm. So it's all about the weather. The other thing that we haven't mentioned, but I should mention before we run out of time, is weeding, hand weeding. The idea of being out with your plants and cultivating your garden. You must cultivate the garden in June and July if you're going to have a crop in August. My wife is a flower gardener. Carla works really hard in her flower gardens. She's great at really fussy things and weeding in small plants. I tend to be growing big things, pumpkins, corn. They take up a lot of space. They're really dramatic. I love growing jack-o'-lanterns and for pumpkin seeds and growing corn. But
you've got your niches.
Yes, exactly. And also trading seeds with your neighbors and trading advice with the seasoned gardeners around you. Find the gardeners at work or at home or in your neighborhood and talk about what their experience has been locally. There's no substitute for local knowledge in terms of the season, your hardiness zone.
That's awesome. Yeah. Let's go to Ann in Danbury. Ann, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Thank you. I'm glad to be on. I am a permaculture designer or took a course at D'Acres. So I have things I can add, but I had a question. I have tried to grow kale, which is supposed to be the fail-proof thing, and the crickets and grasshoppers. And I live in the middle of the forest, and there are just no natural predators, no birds that or anything that get them in there. They eat my kale before I can get it.
Ah. Dave, what should Ann do about these to protect this kale?
You can use that diluted soap spray to try to deter the insects. The other thing is because you live in the forest and you've made a wonderful little snack bar there, you're going to attract, you know, the insects that are, you know, not having other things. It's easier for them to come to your garden. Porcupines are another issue. We haven't talked about fencing, but deer, crow, and porcupines have all been things that we've had to deal with. We use fencing. You may even do high tunnels, you know, to keep the crickets and grasshoppers off. Once the kale is well established by early July, if you plant enough of it, there'll be enough for the crickets and grasshoppers and for you.
Good plan.
Thanks for calling in, Ann. It's good to hear from you. We're going to go down to Ruth in Canterbury. Hey, Ruth, welcome to New Hampshire Calling.
Hey, thanks, Jack, for taking my call.
Absolutely.
And I just wanted to echo an earlier caller, Patricia, who talked about cooperative extension. I actually work for Extension, and we have amazing resources for home gardeners.
I was actually trying to, I have got these fruit trees that have been around for a long time, and I've been going on cooperative. There's actually a bunch of cooperative extensions at universities all over the country, and we have an amazing one here at UNH.
Absolutely.
And just great advice on what to do with this, these old pear trees and apple trees that I've got behind my house.
Both email, and it's really easy. It's answers@unh.edu. So
awesome.
We try to provide answers for folks. There's also a call-in number that folks can call, which is 1-877-EXT-GROW, so extension GROW. Easy things to remember. And normally we have Master Gardeners staffing those lines, but because of the pandemic, of course, our volunteers aren't able to do that as much, but the staff is still answering as many calls as we can, and we're getting a lot of them as people are trying to garden. So we're thrilled to be able to help them out. There's also some great resources on Facebook, and our staff have been doing some Facebook Live interactions and blogs on our website. So UNH Extension website is a great place to go for lots of great information.
And so basically, like, if I have questions about gardening, vegetables, whatever, if I start searching...
And the nice thing about that is that it's all science-based and research-based. And very reliable. And just an added note on a personal level, a lot of us who are gardeners are actually growing extra this year because we realize that it's going to be a hard time for folks. And
yeah.
So here at my home in Canterbury, we're planting extra rows and plan to donate food to the local food pantry and folks in need. And so I'd encourage any gardeners who have experience to think about doing that, because I think our neighbors are going to be thankful for our green thumbs.
That's great.
This summer.
Yeah, Ruth, that's a really important thought right now. And thanks for calling in and bringing it up. We've got basically time for one more pretty quick call. Emily is calling from Greenland. And Emily, I can't stress enough, we're pretty short on time. So can you ask? I know you got a question. Can you make it a quick one?
Sure, I'll make it as quick as I can.
Great.
Okay, so I'm pretty new to gardening, and last year we planted a large wildflower field, and so this is our second year with it, and I'm just kind of wondering what to do with it. Like, do I need to mow it? Should I rake it? Do I need to put new seeds down? And when should I put new seeds down, if I should?
Great. Thanks, Emily. We appreciate it. Dave, what do you think in about 30 seconds here?
A wildflower field, great for pollinators. You could also convert part of that area and mow it and then till it under and grow some other things there and kind of expand the diversity of plants that you're growing there.
Great. Perfect. Yeah, you know what, Dave? Last year, we started having, for the past few years, we had all of this milkweed growing. And it was there for years and years. And last year was the first year we had like hundreds of monarch butterflies that finally found us. It was wild. It was really cool. Dave Anderson, thank you so much for being on the show. Dave Anderson of the New Hampshire Forest Society and NHPR Something Wild. Thanks for all your advice tonight. I'm sure everybody appreciated it.
Thank you, Jack.
Excellent. New Hampshire Calling has been produced by Emily Quirk with help from Pete Nakos. Corey Princell is NHPR's managing editor. Maureen McMurray is our executive producer. Thanks to everyone for listening tonight. We will be back tomorrow night with our soul music show. This is New Hampshire Calling. I'm Jack Rodolico. And remember, we are all in this together.
it's Lauren Chulgin, NHPR political reporter, and we are so thankful for our members who make NHPR's news reporting possible. That includes our comprehensive coverage of the coronavirus pandemic. If you're looking for another way to help, you can donate that vehicle you no longer need to us. We'll pick up your car, truck, or RV and invest the funds right back into the programming you rely on every day. Go online to nhpr.org/cardonation to learn more. And thanks so much.